Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you today from the Commercial News, the weekend edition, for Saturday and Sunday, August 15th and 16th. I'm sorry, I almost forgot the numbers there. We'll start, as always, on the front page today with a headline that will surprise no one. Rain, rain, go away. Flooding problems hit Illinois and Indiana. And this comes to us from reporter Christy Jankowski. Dateline, I guess our whole area, right? Heavy rains from storms this week led to power outages and flooded roads, basements, cars, and homes in both Illinois and Indiana. The Vermilion County Emergency Management reports that 4 to 6 inches of rain fell from Thursday to Friday. It said there is more rain coming this weekend. The agency also says that the Vermilion River near Danville on Friday afternoon is expected to rise above flood stage to a crest of 21.1 feet Friday evening. They say that it will fall below flood stage 18 feet by Saturday morning. The emergency agency issued a flood warning until early Saturday morning on Friday, which could go into later this weekend. Vermilion County is experiencing some flooded roads, as well as basements and cars. Joel Bird with the Vermilion County Emergency Management said it really could be worse. At least all I can say is at least we're better off than some other communities at this point, said Bird, as referring to part of Indiana. We're pretty lucky compared to what others have right now. While this area wasn't hit as hard as some areas in Indiana, Bird said Vermilion County people need to be weather aware. The water is going down, but it's not going down at a rapid pace. It's going down slowly, Bird said. The problem is we have more rain coming this weekend, so everybody should be weather aware that we might be under the same conditions that we are now if we get the heavy rain again that we got on Thursday night. Bird added the American Red Cross is on standby if they are needed this weekend. He also asked people to fill out a self-assessment he has on his Facebook page. If they could fill out that stuff, it'll make it easier for us to figure out our greatest need. And we can get assistance through the government a little faster if we all have that stuff already taken care of, Bird said. Calvin White, who lives in the Holiday Hills area of Danville, said he had to evacuate his children and pets. My house flooded. We got our 4 children out and I saved my 3 dogs, White said. Unfortunately, we lost 2 vehicles that were underwater and the water has damaged our house. White shared videos where you can see the murky water surrounding his property and in his home. He said the Danville Police Department helped him get his children to a safe place. Kim Cox Spangler shared a video of water rushing by her like a creek near the Meadow Lawn area. Meanwhile, Peggy Johnson shared a photo of her sister-in-law, Linda Rush, standing in their driveway after the floodwaters receded near South Daisy Lane on the east side of Danville. Danville's City Park and Recreation Department has closed Ellsworth Park. Any events set for the park this weekend are being moved to Lincoln Park. Jerry Sparks, Assistant Fire Chief with the Danville Fire Department, says if your house is flooding, there are things that need to be checked. People just have to be generally careful with all the water. Keep an eye on their basements, Sparks said. If their basements are flooding, then they're going to start to run into some issues. Pilot lights are going to get burned out. They're going to have gas leaks and that kind of thing. If you have a flooded pilot light, give the department a call. They'll inform Ameren of the situation and shut off the gas to prevent leaks. Ameren will lock it out until the water has receded so they're able to get the water removed. And then they can relight their pilot lights, assuming the appliances are in working order. Across the border, things are more dire. The governor of Indiana, Mike Braun, declared a state emergency for the Hoosier State, mobilizing the Indiana National Guard to provide manpower and resources. Tina Holmes with the Fountain County Emergency Management in Indiana says in Attica, it was hit the hardest. Actually, Fountain County hasn't been bad, Holmes said. She said it is similar to how the storms happened in June when flooding washed out some roads in Indiana. We've just dealt with a big storm that came through Attica. A lot of trees down, some on houses, had some power outages for a day. So now they're just trying to get all that cleaned up, Holmes said. I know Warren County had some flooding. Holmes said the National Weather Service told her the storm damage, besides the rainfall, came from straight-line winds. She urges people to be safe while understanding people are naturally curious but to be aware of their surroundings. The conditions in many areas are set to decrease or clear once the rains let up. However, more rain is on the way. Continuing on our front page with more local news, DAC program gets eliminated. State and federal funding cut from adult education, and this too comes to us from Christy Jankowski. Dateline Danville. College classes are set to begin, but at Danville Area Community College, there will not be any adult education courses. The 60-year program, which had over 400 students enrolled in those programs, has been eliminated. Following a special board meeting on Thursday, the college announced their state and federal funding had been cut from the adult education program. The investigation revealed that the adult education program had misappropriated funds, falsified test scores, and other grant-related fabrications from 22 to 2025. DAC President Dr. Randy Fletcher with his team conducted a six-month-long internal investigation before handing it over to the Illinois Community College Board after finding incidents of malfeasance by administrators who supervised this academic program and managed the grant funds. The report cited repeated offenses of funds mismanagement, missing attendance reports, and fabricated test scores within the adult education program's adult-based education and innovative bridge and transportation grant programs for fiscal years 2024 and 2025 as the determining factors for halting all state and federal funding to Danville Area Community College. Fletcher alerted the media of this information in April. The college places its trust in its administrators to operate their departments in compliance with state and federal law, including the Grant Accountability and Transparency Act. This included the Audit Education Program, the Adult Education Program, which was tasked with using adult education basic skills and bridge funds to support qualified instruction and meaningful career pathways for students, Fletcher said. Unfortunately, this trust was lost when administrative teams discovered inconsistencies in the online course offering system, among other things, where students were enrolled but did not receive any direct instruction for over 3 years. Fletcher was hired as the ninth president of DAC in August of 2025. George Wolf, the chairman of DAC Board of Trustees, said, "With the ICCB's findings matching and reinforcing our own, DAC is moving forward with total clarity. We are executing an exhaustive third-party forensic audit to completely rebuild our internal controls and ensure this never happens again. Our priority remains the protection of taxpayer funds, absolute transparency, and the uninterrupted support of our students." Wolf added, upon taking office, "Dr. Fletcher's commitment to administrative integrity led him to uncover these hidden irregularities, halt the corruption, and self-report the data directly to state and national oversight bodies and to the state's attorney office and the Danville Police Department." In our final story on the front page today, adoption event helps 133 pets find a new home. This too from reporter Christy Jankowski. Dateline Danville. A local pet adoption event placed 133 pets in new homes. During Bissell's Pet Foundation Empty the Shelters event in July, 133 pets found a new home, taking them away from overcrowded shelters. The Vermilion County Animal Shelter joined Bissell Pet Foundation's nationwide Empty the Shelters adoption event, helping pets find loving homes through reduced adoption fees, the organization says. During the event, participating shelters across the country collectively helped 22,617 pets find loving homes, including 9,383 dogs and 13,234 cats. In Vermilion County, 52 dogs and 81 cats were adopted within 2 weeks, and 84 of those adoptions happened at PetSmart. Katie Sokodolsky, shelter programs manager at the Vermilion County Animal Shelter, shared, "From our data, this appears to be our largest and most successful event yet. Everyone in our shelter community came together, staff, volunteers, fosters, interns, adopters, donors, and supporters, to bring as many animals into loving homes as possible." During the event from July 13th to the 26th, adoptions were held at the shelter, the PetSmart in Champaign, and more. Those adoptions were zero cost at every location. "Our adoption process remains the same year-round, but events like this bring much-needed attention to adoption," shared Ryan Goodner, the director at VCAS. "They provide an opportunity to raise awareness, connect more people with adoptable animals, and ultimately help more pets find loving homes. This was the foundation's largest adoption event, encompassing 37 different states. The foundation sponsored the pet fees to make them no cost to those looking to adopt. Every adoption that happens through Empty the Shelters is real relief for a shelter and a fresh start for a pet," said Kathy Bissell, the founder of the foundation. "We are deeply grateful to our shelter partners, donors, and everyone who chose adoption during one of the toughest months of the year for shelters, when surrenders, strays, weather emergencies, and staff shortages push them to their limits. The need doesn't stop when the event's over. We hope you'll keep spreading the word and encouraging your friends and family to choose adoption. For more information on the shelter, head on over to their website at vercounty.org. Taking a turn of the page, we're looking at our local and community briefs. So a couple of have expired already over the weekend, but you know, Taps on Tuesday is coming. So this week's Taps on Tuesday program will be a continuation of last week's focus on the four siege mortars, artillery pieces, in the Soldier's Circle at Spring Hill Cemetery. Larry Weatherford will present the program with Anita Zeller sounding taps. Rebecca Woodrum will lead the national anthem. Taps on Tuesday is presented at 6 p.m. each Tuesday through Labor Day at the Spring Hill Cemetery's Soldier Circle. If you need more information, give them a call at 217-431-0034. In more events of local interest, CRIS and the YMC are offering free fitness classes. CRIS Healthy Aging, in collaboration with the YMC of Danville, is offering Fit and Strong Falls prevention classes. Classes will be held from 10 to 11:30 every Tuesday and Thursday through November 5th at the YMCA of Danville at 1111 North Vermilion Street. There are 24 sessions, each lasting 90 minutes, with 60 minutes of exercise and then 30 minutes of discussion and education. Join us for warm-ups, aerobics, weightlifting, cool-downs, and a great time. To register for the class, call the YMCA of Danville at 217-442-0563. That's again, 217-442-0563. Or for more information about CRIS Healthy Aging, call 217-443-2999 or visit CRISHealthyAging.org. Another event coming up for those of you that have interest, the Farm Bureau is going to be hosting their Fall Market Outlook meeting. It's been a wild year of prices in agriculture. As farmers look forward to harvest, Vermilion County Farm Bureau is holding a program to provide them with timely information on community and input prices along with elevator facility plans for this fall. That's commodity and input prices. Sorry about that. The Market Outlook meeting will be held at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, August 19th in the Farm Bureau Auditorium at 1905 U.S. Route 150 west of Danville. Biscuits and gravy will be served at 9 a.m. With the latest USDA crop report issued the previous Wednesday, speakers Greg Johnson with TGM, Brian Stark from the Andersons, and Premier Cooperative's Doug Kropp will be touching on current market outlooks and updates. Additionally, Vermilion County Farm Bureau will be presenting State Representative Brandon Schweizer with the Friend of Agriculture Award. Illinois Farm Bureau recognizes Representative Schweizer's advocacy and commitment to the agriculture industry and looks forward to his continued involvement and support of agriculture. This program is open to all Farm Bureau members. And again, that Market Outlook meeting is going to be held at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, August 19th in the Farm Bureau Auditorium, 1905 U.S. Route 160 west of Danville, and be there by 9 because there's biscuits and gravy. Again, on some local item that may be of importance to you, depending on where you live, if you live in the city of Danville, East Winter Avenue will be closed for more street repair work. This is a staff report. The city of Danville is continuing street repair work on East Winter Avenue on Monday, August 17th. According to a release from the city, East Winter Avenue will be a full road closure at the Stony Creek Bridge, starting at 7 a.m. and continuing until 9 a.m. weather permitting. During the construction period, motorists will need to use alternate east-west routes like Poland Road and Voorhees Street. The City of Danville appreciates the public's patience and cooperation as street repairs are completed. For more information, contact Public Works by phone at 217-431-2288. As we approach the midpoint of our time together today, let's turn our attention to the obituaries that were received by Friday at 5. We have 3 today. Mary Beckelheimer. Mary Jo Ellen Beckelheimer, age 66, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at her home on Saturday, July 11th. A private celebration of Mary's life will be held at a later date, and Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center's Covington Channel is honored to assist the family with those funeral arrangements. Birdie Mae Moore. Birdie Mae Moore, age 97 of Oakwood, passed away on August 12th at the Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, August 16th at Sunset Funeral Home. And a funeral will be taking place on Monday, the 17th at 10 a.m., also at the funeral home. She'll be laid to rest next to Leroy at Stern Cemetery following services that day. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial donations be made in her name to the Comet Power of Pink at 107 Mead Street in Catlin or the Oakwood Fire and Rescue. Online condolences, fond memories, and pictures can be shared with Birdie's family on her tribute wall at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Kara Lee Houston. Kara Lee of rural Williamsport passed away peacefully at her home surrounded by family on August 12th. Her visitation will be from 11 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Sunset Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana on Monday the 17th. Funeral will follow at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard with burial in Mount Hope Cemetery at 2 p.m. and officiating will be Wesley Vickery, her grandson. That concludes the reading of today's obituaries. Let's turn our attention to the editorial pages on our way to sports this morning. We've got a couple that we'll take a look at. Our first editorial today, what's in a name? Danville residents can enjoy a huge free assets offering to a variety of attractions. The city's parks, most of them named after people or local places, but a couple offer an opportunity for new names to reflect big parts of the city's history. Add to in the potential for another park site, the lot where Breezy Tower once stood, and it's a fun proposal worth discussing. Most of the parks, Ellsworth, Lincoln, Cannon, Douglas, Carver, Elmwood, Liberty, and Mead, carry names of famous people or specific local addresses. Those names could be difficult to change, although not many people remember why some of them carry the names they do. Two others, Winter and Liberty, are tagged by the names of the streets where they're located and are two of the city's newest facilities. What if they were renamed? With the new tags recognizing the city's connections to entertainment and science, using the honorees on Danville High School Wall of Fame. A park focusing on entertainers could include information about actors and comedians, Jerry and Dick Van Dyke, actor Gene Hackman, singer Bobby Short, entertainment executive and agent Irving Azoff, writers P. Kevin Strader and Matthew Woodring Stover, and television executive Greg Meidel. And don't forget Donald O'Connor, actor and dancer who didn't attend Danville High School but considered Danville his hometown. The potential to create exhibits that take advantage of today's technology would remind visitors about the wealth of the work these people created and about today's arts organizations operating in the community. Another park could honor the community's ties to the world of science. Exhibits could include information about Theodore Gilliland, a radio tech pioneer, Dr. David Morrison, astrophysicist and director of NASA's Infrared Telescope Facility, Joe Tanner, astronaut, Dr. James Westwater, a chemical engineer, Dr. John W. Kay, researcher, and Carl B. Fleiermans, Ph.D., microbiologist. Danville's long association with the nation's veterans, both through the Department of Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System and the large number of area residents who served in the U.S. Armed Forces, could serve as another option for a local park name. If no developer steps up to develop the area where Breezy Tower once stood, the property would provide an excellent spot to develop a park that not only those who served and those who cared for the city's, the country's military personnel, but could connect with the Vermilion County Museum and Vermilion County War Museum to create a site that would attract visitors from throughout the region. Local officials face many other, much more pressing issues than park names, but using the opportunity to inform and entertain area residents and create attractions to bring visitors into the city is a discussion worth having sometime soon. Interesting thoughts. Be interested to hear how you all feel about that. Our next editorial today comes from Kevin Cullen, the Irish hiker. We haven't heard from him in a little bit. Today, he'd like to talk to us about honoring dependable service. I'm not sure how I feel about 92-year-old U.S. senators, but I'm now a fan of Chuck Grassley, 92, who has represented Iowa in the Senate since 1981. He's the longest-serving senator in the state's history. You can argue all day about Grassley's Republican politics, but you can't dispute his sense of loyalty and his willingness to lavish praise on a faithful worker. I'm talking about Beth, his vacuum cleaner. Beth, you see, was first used by Grassley's mother-in-law. After 15 years, Grassley and his wife brought it to their farmhouse. A few days ago, after 37 additional years of sucking up dust, cracker crumbs, and who knows what else, there it finally quit. Grassley had written about Beth several times on Twitter, now called X. He posted this last weekend. You will see Beth no more. Then, referring to a photo of the beige Hoover Concept 2 heavy-duty power dry vacuum, he added, She's black. That's from electrical sparks. It's not safe to use anymore. Goodbye, Beth. You've been a real workhorse. I will miss you. The vacuum was named after a former member of Grassley's staff. She was known as a hard worker. A few critics replied critically. One said that anyone mourning the failure of a vacuum cleaner was clearly senile. Another wished that the Senate would work as hard as Beth did. Another said that Grassley was too old to see that Beth only needed was a new cord. Others, however, joined in the fun. R.I.P. Beth. A good run, posted Federal Communications Commission Chairman Brendan Carr. U.S. Senator Tim Scott, a representative from South Carolina, said, Sorry for your loss. They don't build them like they used to. Democrat John Turek, a member of the Iowa House of Representatives, said, Sorry for your loss, Senator. Sounds like Beth had a heck of a run. My favorite came from Grassley's communications director, Claire Slattery. She asked people to please respect Team Grassley's privacy during this difficult time. In 2023, Grassley posted a video of him using Beth to vacuum his house before a family Thanksgiving dinner. It attracted more than 1 million viewers on X. She never lets me down, and I'm grateful I can count on Old Faithful, he said. In today's world, where almost everything is disposable, it's refreshing to hear about a household appliance that served the same family for nearly 50 years. Such things deserve to be used and repaired until they finally die. I'm thinking about the good old Toastmaster toaster oven that we use every day. It's simple. Heavy chrome, plated, with an industrial strength cord covered in brown fabric. In 1973, I bought it as a house for a dollar at a household auction in the 900 block of Walnut Street. It was old then, but it evidently had been lovingly cared for. It looked just like new. At that time, I was living with my grandmother, so I gave it to her. She preferred it to her previous toaster, a Sunbeam that had been acting up. She used the Toastmaster every morning to prepare the only breakfast she ever ate, buttered toast. When my grandmother died in 1981, I took the Toastmaster to my bachelor apartment. I used it there, and it came with me when Lori and I married in 1982. We've used it continuously ever since. And you still press the little red button underneath to open the trap door that lets you clean out the crumbs and bit of crust that have fallen into the bottom. I'm not into social media, so our faithful old toaster has never gotten the public recognition that Beth received. But I think it deserves a meaningful name, just like Grassley's vacuum. Brownie. Sounds good to me. Again, this came to us today from Kevin Cullen. I don't have an appliance that old. Do any of you? It's time to turn our attention to the sports pages, where we find some of our local athletic teams gearing up for their fall games. Today's headline, going with a new theme. Danville looks to improve from a 2-7 season. This comes to us from Marvin Holman. It seems at times inexperience was the theme for the Danville football team. A mostly young team struggled to a 2-7 record last year, which means a team of experience is here for this year to improve. This year we feel a little better because of the natural growth of kids getting a year of experience of understanding the speed of the game, the physicality in the conference, and a year of being in our system and getting used to the coaching. As 10th or 11th graders, they were not really accustomed to that, but this year the experience and understanding has helped them. They're growing together and understanding a little bit more how cohesiveness works when they play together. Last year they were trying to solely focus on not messing up on their job. Now they understand the importance of their job and how it affects the overall play. The Vikings returned 7 seniors, led by wide receiver corner DeMario Jackson, who has not stopped working since winning 3 gold medals at the IHSA Class 2A track meet in May. Coming off track season and doing some big things, people expect you to take a week off, but I made a commitment to the team and I decided to go in and work on football, Jackson said. We're really dedicated, and we've been working since the start of summer to get ready for the season. We have a lot to prove as a team. He's one of the best teammates anyone can have, Forrest says. As talented as he is, as much as he was good at winning the 100, 200, and 400, he put effort into a relay because he was looking for other kids to go to state. He's one of the best kids that we have that can lead others. Nothing gets in his head. He just continues to work and improve. He's one of those kids you wish you had more of and you hate to see them go. As a state champion that comes back, he didn't focus solely on track. He came back because he enjoys football, competing, and hanging out with his teammates. There is nothing more than you can ask for a kid than to be that person they want to encourage and teach those around them. Jackson is one of the returners from last season that had solid moments and are hoping for more. We have DeMario Jackson, Emilin Beasley, and Alante Anderson in the backfield, while on the line we have Jarrell Morris, Ashton Anderson, Kyle Lowenstein, McKay Goward, Bentley Luzader, and Christian Forbes. So we have a whole line that has played the game at some point last season. As a senior leader, Jackson said it's time to reverse things from last season, so his last year at Danville is a memorable one. After that 2-7 season, me and the seniors stepped up, Jackson said. We don't want a season where we go 2-7 again, so we just want to make sure that everyone's doing their part and we are all well. The main controversy is quarterback, where Aiden Henderson started in his senior year last year. For his replacement, Forrest is thinking about a platoon. We've had some changes from last year, even with those who played quarterback who are not with us this year, Forrest said. It will be by committee. We'll have a couple of different kids. Last year we had one returner in Rylan Moore. It's about developing what we're going to have and who will be the one that we can work that, to put us in a stable space. So we have a week or two to get that figured out. In more local sports, Federick hopes to bring excitement to DHS girls swimming. Over 15 years ago, the Danville girls swimming team was in the middle of its salad days, and Carly Frederick's right in the middle of it. I'm not sure when Jana Drennan took over as a coach, but I know in that 2009 season, we broke every record except one, and we broke them all again the season after that, Frederick's, who was Carly Strader at the time. It was a very successful 3 years for me, and for a total of 5 years, we broke records like it's our job. After her time in college and a few offers in the past, Frederick's decided to take the job as Danville girls swim coach last week. I said the other night that third time's a charm, Frederick said. Ever since I graduated from college in 2015, they had some different coaching changes, and I was asked two times and that was really casual. It didn't work because of my schedule and what I was doing at the time. I started teaching in the district this year and it turned out to be the perfect time. It may be the perfect time for the swim team, who's had low numbers the last few years compared to the heights of Frederick's area at Dantonville. I haven't been super connected to the swim team, but I know they haven't had large numbers, Frederick said. When I was there, we had about 25 to 30 swimmers, and last year they had four. It was a mighty four, but it was a pretty big difference. With that, the mission was clear, to bring more excitement to the team. We're looking forward to getting excitement about swimming. It's a unique sport, so it's hard to get girls interested in it. My main focus is to build the program, have a successful program. I'm willing to teach the basics to get started. If I have to teach someone to swim, I will, and turn it into a great program again with awesome results. The first start to build with it was an informational meeting on Wednesday, and the meeting along with online registration will hopefully give Frederick's more opportunity to build. Our final sports article today, Toppers set to start in September. This too comes to us from Marvin Holman. While most football teams in the state will start next weekend, Schlarman Academy will take a little longer to start. Because of a late start, the return of the Hilltoppers will be held until the middle of September. We are having a season, but it will be a limited season this year, Schlarman Athletics Director Aaron Forsythe said. We're playing in an 8-man league, and we were able to get some games because the team had to drop out because of low participation. We were able to pick up some of those games, and we're working to pick up some more. The plan is to rebuild and get back to a full varsity schedule next year, and we will be on 8-man again. To get everything on track this season on the sidelines, Schlarman looked toward the past, getting Bob Lehman to return as an interim coach. He was coach when the Hilltoppers started 8-man football, and he will be at the helm this year. We wish all our local sports teams the best as they get their season started in the coming weeks. It's time to wrap up our time together. Let's take a look at our local weather for the week. For Monday, it looks like we don't really have a lot of rain planned for this week, so it's going to be less humid. Some pretty sunny days still to come, where it will be in the low 80s. Our lows on the overnight will go as low as 59 on Friday, but there's a lot more sun than clouds this week. Looks like a stray morning thunderstorm on Thursday is the only mention of rain in our forecast. And I assure you, I think that is probably fine with many of us. So this has been Terry Burdick reading to you from the Danville Commercial News, the weekend edition. I look forward to reading again with you soon. I will be taking a couple of weeks off, but I know you'll have somebody that'll step in my absence. Have a great week.